How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
I could tell the guy was an addict by the way he kept scratching at the sores on his arm. He stood outside my pawn shop window, blinking like the street lights hurt his eyes. You see a lot of addicts in my line of work. This one didn't look so desperate as to rob the place, and the velvet-wrapped package he was holding under his arm intrigued me. As a pawn shop owner, I deal with a lot of dangerous people. That's why I need layers of security, alarms, automated gates, bulletproof glass, cameras, and if all that fails, the 9mm pistol in a holster at my hip. I buzzed the guy in. He was unshaven, and his messy brown hair looked like it might start falling out in patches any day now. His skin had a yellowed, droopy quality.
"Need a loan,"
he mumbled. I tried to contain my curiosity as the young man unraveled the black cloth. Inside was a book. It was as thick as my arm and as wide as my chest, leather-bound and trimmed with gold. "You can start filing out the paperwork while I see what you got." The ornate volume barely passed through the slot in my plexiglass screen. While the young man blinked and twitched his way through the legal documents, I inspected the book. It was sealed by some sort of combination lock, also made of gold. I didn't usually deal in books or antiques, but this was a special case.
"Fucking bitch,"
the addict murmured as he scrawled his name on the paper.
"She was a monster. She deserved it."
"Huh?" I read his chicken scratch handwriting through the plexiglass. Clayton Blackmore, age 27, 1345 Robert E. Lee Circle, lot 14B, a trailer park.
"I tore her heart out. It's the only way. Bitch."
Clayton Blackmore spat on my ground. "Well, about the book, I can give you $75 for it."
"No way, man. It's worth a lot more than that. Give it back."
Clayton punched the glass.
"I can do $100,
I replied calmly. Final offer.
"Yeah, fine. I'll take it,"
Clayton cut me off. I'd sell the gold trimming alone for at least 3 times that amount. Clayton was out the door the moment he had the cash in his hand. Just as I'd expected, I never saw him again. I only wish that had been the end of it. A woman in gray showed up the day after Clayton pawned the strange book. I was just about to close up for the night when I got an eerie feeling that someone was watching me. I turned around to find her standing so close to the door that her nose was practically touching it, peering inside the pawn shop at me. She hadn't rung the bell, and I hadn't seen or heard her approach. I buzzed her in. She was middle-aged, squarely built, and very plain. Her black hair was pulled back in a severe bun, and her shapeless gray dress looked like something out of another century. There was something about her hooded eyes and her silent, patient moments that reminded me of a snake preparing to strike.
"You have something that belongs to me."
The woman's wispy, childlike voice sent shivers up my spine.
"My daughter was not the best judge of character. She became involved with a wayward man. He brought you an unusual book."
"Ma'am," I cleared my throat. "If you believe an item was stolen, you need to file a police report and..."
"I do not deal with lawmen,"
the woman scoffed.
"You will please give the item back immediately."
"I'm afraid I can't do that. A client has 30 days to repay their loan, and until that time..."
"Give me back my property!"
"Ma'am, this isn't how it works. I think I need you to leave." I was starting to get angry. The woman in gray moved up and down wordlessly. Customers had threatened me before, but no one had ever looked at me with such raw hate. She backed out of the door and into the night, never once taking her eyes off me. I didn't realize how much the whole experience had unsettled me until I was turning the key in the lock of the pawn shop door. I kept looking over my shoulder, afraid that that eerie woman might suddenly be there. The streetlight behind me fizzled out.
"Why don't you make it easy on yourself?" I could feel the woman's breath in my ear in the dark. You know how this'll end. My hand went to my pistol. I pressed my back against the door, hyperventilating. But there was nothing behind me but shadows. I wasn't surprised to see the woman in gray return the next night, but I was done fooling around. When she approached the door, I didn't buzz her in. Instead, I pressed a paper against the plexiglass. Leave, or 911. Once again, the woman backed away slowly, her dark eyes full of anger. I thought she was gone for good. I was wrong. When my wife called a few hours later, all I could hear was sobbing.
I need you to come home right now.
I live in a quiet suburb as far as possible from the pawn shop. I never imagined that my work might follow me home. When I saw what had been done to my house, however, that illusion was shattered. Give it back had been painted across the driveway, the garage, the front door, and inside the house. The floor-to-ceiling words covered the hallways. They stared back at me from our bedroom ceiling, the refrigerator, and even the television. The police suspected the rust-colored letters had been painted with pig's blood, with nothing more than my description and some grainy security camera footage to go on. The officer admitted that there wasn't much he could do. Unable to sleep with those horrible words on the wall, my wife and I rented a hotel room. The next night, I waited eagerly for the woman in gray. I wanted to make her pay for the fear she'd made my family feel. I was so lost in my violent fantasies that I didn't hear the buzzer ring. A boy and girl, neither older than 10, wanted access. They looked familiar, but I couldn't have said why. I buzzed them through the first gate. Are you two all right? What are you doing out so late? I asked. The children looked at each other. There was a long pause.
Our grandma wants her book.
To my horror, the two scrawny kids began to slip through the bars of the second gate. Their faces were twisted into an expression of rage that I knew all too well. They ran at me like rabid animals, and I realized that if they could squeeze through the gate, they could squeeze through the slot in the plexiglass as well. The girl clawed her way through the first, screeching and snapping at me with her tiny teeth. I ran for the back room, slammed the door in their faces, and called the police. After only a few moments, the hammering of their little fists on the door fell silent. The officers told me they'd been unable to identify the woman in gray, and that there was no sign of the two strange children. After they left, I opened the safe and took out the leather-bound book. I knew what I had to do. Maybe I'd known all along. I drove back to my empty house. Give it back stared back at me in rusty letters from every surface, and I wasn't surprised to see a family waiting for me on the dark sidewalk. The woman in gray, two children, and a man and a woman I didn't recognize. All with the same black hair, dark eyes, and old-fashioned clothes, all watching me hungrily. I set the leather-bound volume on the sidewalk and backed away. That was the last I saw of the woman in gray and her family. I never learned who they were or what was inside of that strange book. And you know what? Maybe it's better that way.
My Uncle Yoshi had a pawn shop in the market. We lived in a small village surrounded by forests and mountains. People in our village lived a simple and quiet life. There were hardly any crimes or scary incidents happening in the village. Kids would roam around the streets fearlessly. Villagers always smiled at each other whenever they met on the streets. The peaceful environment of the village never gave anyone the slightest idea that something evil could strike the community until this incident happened. Villagers would often visit my Uncle Yoshi's shop to sell antique family heirlooms for money. The shop had a small storeroom located at the back where Uncle Yoshi kept the most valuable pieces. So whenever I went to the market with my mom, I always begged her to take me to my uncle's shop. The shop was like a fantasy land for me. The various old items arranged on the wooden shelves would stare at me as if they were telling me some folklore. One day, my mom and I went to the market. She had lots of groceries to buy, and I didn't want to accompany her in that boring task, so I asked her, "Mom, Can I go to Uncle Yoshi's shop? Fine, but stay there until I come to get you. Don't go anywhere else, okay? Okay, Mom. When she permitted me, I sped to the shop like a hummingbird. As I entered the shop, I found it empty. Uncle Yoshi wasn't there. Uncle Yoshi? It's me, Uncle Yoshi? But still, there was no sign of him. I began exploring the shop with the utmost freedom. I was going through shelf after shelf, touching every item, when suddenly, I heard a burst of crackling laughter behind me. Turning around, I saw a pair of creepy blue eyes watching me. The eyes were so huge that it felt unreal that they could belong to a human being. I felt my legs freeze in fear, and the eyes gave me a death stare. A whimpering cry came out of my mouth. Huh? As soon as that happened, the figure hiding behind the counter started to rise slowly. And then I saw a freaky-looking old man. The fact that he was inside the shop at this time and chose to remain quiet when I called out gave me goosebumps. With a fumbling voice, I asked, "Who are you? Where's my Uncle Yoshi?" "Don't be scared, little girl. I'm a friend of Yoshi. He went to the market to get something. He's the one who put me in charge until he comes back." "Then why didn't you answer when I called out?" "Because it wasn't me you were calling for." Being a kid, his playful words didn't strike my mind, and I thought he was right. I did call out to my uncle. The man walked up to me and crouched down to my face. "Do you come here often?"
Yes, sometimes.
"I see. What's your name?"
"Hanako."
"That's a pretty name. So, Hanako, would you like to be my friend?" A creepy grin appeared on his face as he asked me this. I didn't know what to say because, honestly, he gave me the creeps from the moment we met. So I remained quiet and acted as if I was confused to answer him. "What happened? Don't you make friends, Hanako?"
Yes, I do, but..."
"But what?"
"My mom says not to make friends with strangers."
"Oh, really?"
His face turned sad, and his eyes got filled with tears. He covered his face with his hands and started sobbing like a kid.
I never saw any grown-up cry like that. So I asked,
"Why are you crying?"
"No one wants to be my friend, because I'm ugly." Now I began to feel bad for him. He was sobbing uncontrollably, and my innocent mind didn't ponder for a second that it could all be a trap.
"I'm sorry if I hurt you. We can be friends."
"Really?" He looked at me with wide eyes and asked. I nodded my head and he stood up with a happy face and said, "So, now we are friends. Would you like to go to the storeroom in the back?"
"The treasure cave?"
"That's what I named the storeroom." His eyes sparkled and let out a creepy chuckle. He replied, "Yes, yes, the treasure caves. I have the keys. Would you like to see what's inside it?"
"But Uncle Yoshi never lets me go in there."
"Now you can. As your friend, I can take you there."
"Okay."
He stretched his bony hands towards me, and I was holding them, thinking he was about to show me real treasure. We left the shop, made our way through the narrow lane right beside it, and reached it in front of a closed unit. The man slowly took out the keys and unlocked the door. It was so dark inside at first glance, I couldn't see anything. He walked in and called out to me. "Come in, Hanako. The treasures are waiting to meet you." I looked at the now narrow alley behind me. People were busy in the market, and no one noticed the little girl with the creepy-looking old man. I stepped inside the storage unit. As soon as I did, he locked the door right behind me.
Why did you lock the door?
So that no one sees us. If they do, they won't let you discover the treasures. Just then, a big wooden trunk kept in the corner of the storeroom started shaking. Someone was kicking the trunk from the inside.
What's happening? Who is that?
Another Hanako. Your uncle brought her last night.
What? I want to go to my mom. Let me out.
Sorry, little girl. That's not happening. Once you enter the treasure cave, there's no way out. I ran to the door, started banging on it, screaming.
Mom, I'm in here, please help me.
Do you want to wake one more friend, Hanako? She's just like you. Well, almost like you. Saying this, he walked up to the wooden trunk and unlocked it. What I saw gave me nightmares for life. A little girl was inside the trunk. Her pink frock was covered with stains and dust, like someone dragged her here and locked her up inside the trunk. She had no hair, only a few strands peeking from her bald head. Her face looked traumatized, and she was shaking in fear.
Oh my God.
Just then, I heard footsteps outside the storage unit and a loud bang at the door, like someone was about to take it down. After 2-3 strong kicks, the door finally gave up, and I saw my Uncle Yoshi walking into the storeroom. Seeing him, I ran to hug him, and I saw my mom standing behind him too. They both rescued me and that poor little girl. The cops were called. I was so shocked and paranoid that I hardly spoke when the cops interrogated me about the old man. He was arrested for kidnapping that little girl and also attempting to kidnap me. He was sent to prison and Uncle Yoshi testified against him. Though, the guy tried to frame Uncle Yoshi in this abduction but was caught red-handed and no one believed him. The cops concluded that he somehow stole the storeroom keys and hid the little girl inside the trunk without Uncle Yoshi's knowledge. Uncle Yoshi also said that the old guy used to be friends with him, and he had no idea that he was a devil in disguise. The village people were terrified after this incident, but everyone praised Uncle Yoshi for his presence of mind. My mom believes if Uncle Yoshi didn't reach him in time, the old man could have done horrible things to me just like he did to the little girl. The girl was reunited with her family, and Uncle Yoshi became the hero of our village. But now when I think about this incident, the man's words ring in my ear. Another Hanako. Your uncle brought her last night. Do you think he told the truth? Is my Uncle Yoshi connected to the crime? Seems like I might never find out.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.